You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Mike Arnold in for Veronica Rickard. As we count down to the new year, we'll be taking a look back at some of the big stories and trends of 2014 over the next week. Yesterday, we checked out the year in words and language. Coming up on Friday, the top state and national news stories. And next Monday, we review the year in science.
And now, a look at music. We called up Stephen Thompson from NPR Music. He joins us on Central Time from time to time to share some great songs. He's turned us on to a lot of great stuff. Today, he brings his top 10 songs of 2014. Stephen's an editor and reviewer for NPR Music and a panelist on the Pop Culture Happy Hour and All Songs Considered. Stephen, welcome back.
Oh, it's nice to be here, guys.
Well, before we get to your top 10 tracks for 2014, and you've got some great ones, did you see any big trends and themes emerging in the music world this last year?
Well, one thing that really jumped out at me was the way the shadow of 2013 kind of hung over this year in music like an awning. You had the big pop hits of the year, like Happy by Pharrell and Let It Go from Frozen, came out last year and just wouldn't go away. And if you're looking at just top 40, if you're looking at pop music, it was really about 2013 not really being able to be shed. And actually, one thing that I put down as one of my 10 favorite pop songs one of my 10 favorite songs of 2014 is actually on an album that came out so late last year that I couldn't include it in my top 10 list. And that's, speaking of pop, the Beyoncé record.
And well, let's check out. You've got a Beyoncé track for us. Let's jump right in. This is XO by Beyoncé.
Your love is bright as ever, even in the shadows. Baby, kiss me.
So, Stephen, what is it about this? This is the poppiest one, I think, from your list this year. What is it about this one that grabbed you?
Well, this particular song swells and swells and gets bigger and bigger. And part of what I love in pop music is when it's soaring and grandiose and vaguely fatalistic. It has this, it just builds and builds so beautifully. I actually really love this Beyoncé record. I know that she's a big pop star and you know, we're also supposed to turn up our noses, but that record is fantastic.
Now, you know, Beyoncé is pretty popular on the charts. We mentioned Happy and some other songs. Are there songs from the past year that were pop hits that you think will actually last longer than, say, Gangnam Style lasted?
Well, I think...
What do you mean, man? That's still with us.
I don't know that we're all still rocking the Gangnam Style. I think this Taylor Swift record that came out kind of late in the year, that was sort of the first big pop record that kind of finally flushed away so many of these songs from 2013 that we couldn't quite get rid of. I mean, Happy by Pharrell came out in the summer of 2013, and it's still reverberating on the wind. But I think the Taylor Swift record, as much as, again, you know, it's this total pop confection, and, you know, and she's somebody who often isn't taken very seriously, I think that's a very sturdy collection of songs. And we're still going to be trying to shake off those Taylor Swift hits late into 2015.
Well, the accountants in the music industry definitely took that album seriously. I mean, this is one that people were hoping to be the blockbuster of the year, right? Taylor Swift's new album.
And it has been. It's the first million selling album since the last time Taylor Swift put out a record. So she's a juggernaut. Even though music sales are so depressed, you know, she's one of the few who can still sell, you know, 1 million, 2 million in a way that I think if she had come out 25 years ago, these records would be selling 10 million, 15 million.
And part of that's because she got out of things like Spotify, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think to a certain extent, she's a big enough fish that she's able to step out of the music streaming circle and still be able to sell a lot of records. I'm not sure if it's totally cause and effect there or not, but, you know, certainly on Spotify, you know, artists aren't making as much money as they would if they were selling music.
Well, Stephen, I want to get further into your list, and this is part of what I like about having you on. My tendency is a great band comes out, and I discover it, you know, 5 to 10 years later, if ever. But thanks to you, I've actually gotten on board, you know, with albums that have just come out. So I want to get into some of your other top 10 picks. Tell us a little bit before we give a listen. We've got a song from Sylvan Esso, a song called Coffee. Tell us about it, and then we'll give it a listen.
Yeah, Sylvan Esso is this wonderful electronic folk pop duo. The singer is a woman named Amelia Meath, who has sung in an a cappella, mostly a cappella group called Mountain Man. And Nick Sanborn has played in Megaphone and has a few Wisconsin ties to him as well. But when they work together, they make this very melancholy, beautiful, very catchy. It's dance music, but it's got this kind of sinister quality, not sinister, just kind of sinewy quality as well. I just love it. Coffee is just this beautiful song that I kept coming back to all year long.
This is Coffee by Sylvan Esso. Stuff going on back there, Stephen.
Yeah, and as that song unfolds, it reveals more hooks on top of hooks, and it becomes very big and throbbing, but still sad. The more you pick it apart lyrically, the more it kind of makes you stop and question your existence, which is my favorite kind of song.
You enjoy being questioning your existence. Is that,
I enjoy constantly pondering my place on this earth.
Well, I'm originally from Indiana, and one of the things when you're from Indiana, you're doomed because John Cougar Mellencamp sort of overrides all of the music in the state. and I was actually impressed that you were able to find somebody on your list who's from Indiana and sort of moves things in a different direction, and that's Strand of Oaks. Could you tell me a little bit about that group?
Yeah, Strand of Oaks is mostly this guy named Timothy Showalter, and he's made a lot of kind of, you know, bedroom confessional, you know, folk music, and this record that he put out called Heal has a lot of bigger rock bandier songs. And the song that I pick, which is one of my very favorites of the year, is called JM. And he wrote it about one of his favorite singer-songwriters and one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Jason Molina, who used to record as Songs Ohio or Magnolia Electric Company. And Jason Molina died last year at 39. And this song that's a tribute to him is just this beautiful reflection on the way music can burrow deeply under our skin. And it's an appreciation that where you really feel the gratitude toward the artist. I love this song. So this is Strand of Oaks, and the song is called JM.
Cleaning off the ash, but I had your sweet tunes to play.
Now, Stephen, one of your colleagues at NPR, Bob Boylan, I think, said that this song sounds a lot like Cortez the Killer by Neil Young. Would you say that's true?
I think that's a very, very apt comparison. And what the passage from it that we heard is one of the quieter kind of build-up points to where it unleashes this thunderous, very crazy horse guitar just raging. And so to me, it not only is very reminiscent of Cortez the Killer, but it's also true to the sound of a lot of Jason Molina's music, especially his later stuff. And so it's paying tribute on a number of levels.
Now, Stephen, you have a habit of picking songs with a lot of different parts and build-ups and stuff. That makes it really hard to pick the one representative sample. But
yeah, I don't make it easy for you to pull out 5 seconds.
But this one actually kind of comes in strong and keeps it through. Now, this one you shared with us in the past, and I have loved the album since you introduced me to it. This is from the new Pornographers album, the new Pornographers album. This song is Brill Bruisers. Give a listen here.
Just set it away,
And Stephen, I think the whole album carries through the momentum here. You agree, I assume?
Yeah, I love it. I was writing about this record recently, and I realized that so much of the appeal of this album is all there in the first 1 second of that song. It just has this, like, shwoomp. And you're immediately fully immersed in it. And, you know, from there, it slows down in spots, but you really are just, the ride begins literally within the first second.
Well, we're talking to Stephen Thompson from NPR Music about some of the greatest songs of 2014. He's sharing his top 10 list, and you can join in right now, too.
We want to hear your suggestions of great music, either new in 2014 or perhaps new to you. In 2014, maybe you're like me and discover stuff a little bit later. What did you find that you got into in the last year? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post over at the Central Time Facebook page.
We continue our look into the year in music with Stephen Thompson from NPR. He's sharing some of his favorite songs of the year.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Share either your favorite new song or maybe album from this year, or something that's new to you, something that you just discovered this year, or maybe is there a song you could have done without? You can call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll get back to some of Stephen's picks in a moment, but let's go to our phones. And we've got Bill on the line in Waukesha. Bill, hi there.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What are you listening to this year?
Well, lately I've been listening to Hank Williams III. And he's a little dark and... little backwoodsish, but he's a kind of comical as he sings as well.
And he's obviously he'd been at it for a while. What got you into him this year?
Well, I don't know. Maybe that genre in general, and with Pandora, you know, different songs come up and different artists come up that maybe you haven't listened to in a while, and so he started becoming a little more catchy for me.
And so Hank Williams III is Hank Williams Jr.'s son, who
Correct.
Is Hank Williams. So it's like three generations.
Right.
Yeah, that lineage
Go ahead, Bill.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Oh, I said he sounds more like his grandfather and kind of looks like his grandfather.
Bill,
well,
thanks.
They say it skips a generation, you know.
Definitely. Well, Bill, thanks a lot for the call. And Stephen, Bill is doing something that I do. I'll use these online things to catch up with bands that I probably should have listened to back then. Do you have something like that, Stephen, that you are rediscovering now, even if it's not brand spanking new?
You know, it's actually really hard to get to do that because I'm constantly listening I'm listening to more 2015 music right now than I am anything before 2014. But it's interesting that you guys brought up Hank III. Hank III, I believe it's his half-sister, Holly Williams, put out one of my favorite records of 2013. So that lineage is still producing, I think... some amazing music.
So Hank III, how long has he been out there?
It's been around a while. I would say probably 15 or 20 years.
Wow. Well, completely missed him, so I'm putting it on the list.
Yeah, and remember,
really good outlaw country. If you like your country to have an outlaw, kind of a rock edge to it, he's your man.
You can share your favorites, new music or new to you music in 2014, 800-642-1234, or head on over to the Central Time Facebook page. Stephen, a band that was not new to me, I'd heard a previous album, Alt-J, I think from Britain, a new song, Warm Foothills. Tell us a little bit about Alt-J before we give a listen.
Yeah, Alt-J is a big up-and-coming band. They won the Mercury Prize for their first album. And the vocals by this guy, Joe Newman, have always thrown me off. They're always a little too kind of squeaky and adenoidal and weird for me. This particular record, This Is All Yours, they tone that down, and it's very atmospheric and beautiful. And the song that I picked is called Warm Foothills. He actually not only trades lines with other singers, he actually trades words. And so a different vocalist will take each word, and it's very haunting and very, very beautiful.
All right, Warm Foothills by Alt-J.
Dryden's cater for jumping boys. From the nape of her neck,
he made his descent. They watched men hurl from rocks.
So there's a good taste of what you're talking about, jumping back and forth. What I had heard of Alt-J in the past was a lot more jarring, driving, weird stuff coming out of nowhere. This is very pretty and melodic. Is that characteristic of this new album?
Yeah, I think it's a much prettier record. There is some pretty stuff on the first record, but it's a little bit slinkier. It's a little more, you know, kind of gets under your skin. This record is very, very atmospheric.
Could we listen to one more here, actually? There's a Tiny Ruins, which is kind of has the same sort of feel to it that you have on the list, which is Me at the Museum, You at the Winter Garden. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's a band from New Zealand. There were two records like this that I listened to all year long. The other one was my favorite album of the year, this band called Luluk. But Tiny Ruins, it's just this beautiful, these melancholy ballads. And you know, for me, I tend to go to extremes. I either love my music like that New Pornographer song where it's just big and brash and just right out of the gate, or I love this quieter, more reflective stuff. And this is a very, very, just not just because it has winter in the title, this is a very wintry song.
So no half measures for Stephen Thompson. Tiny
right.
Ruins, Me at the Museum, You at the Winter Gardens.
So that, I mean, you were talking about how, you know, the Alt-J's sounding more is that a trend? Is that something that's happening where everybody, I mean, because it kind of reminds me of like Belle and Sebastian or something like that. Has that happened in music?
I think a lot of musicians, as more and more of them are recording at their homes and in their bedrooms, and that the equipment necessary to record an album is more available in kind of a portable way where you're not going into a sterile recording studio. I do think you get more reflective music as a result. I'm not saying that's necessarily what happened with Alt-J or Tiny Ruins or Luluk or any of these slower, quieter bands that I'm loving. But I do think that does create an ecosystem for some quieter music.
Let's go back to our callers. You've got Ryan on the line with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What do you got for us?
I'm talking about a couple of local bands here that one has critical acclaim, Field Report.
Sure.
Fronted by Christopher Porterfield. And another band that I actually had the pleasure to mix their record was they're called Buffalo Gospel, folk Americana country style. All just great. Porterfield's more ethereal, and Buffalo Gospel's just heart-wrenching, absolutely heart-wrenching. And that's a band that I just can see blowing up sooner than later.
Ryan, thanks a lot for those Wisconsin-based suggestions. Yeah. Stephen, not getting into the specific bands, but the joy of going out and catching that local act, is that a lost art, or are people still going out and getting those, seeing those bands in person before they're big?
Oh, well, you know, that's one of the things that you can never digitize. You know, the experience of going out to, you know, to a club or a bar or your friend's house or wherever these bands are performing and having that sense of discovery. One of my favorite Wisconsin bands of this year is Fox, you know, PHOX. Mm-hmm. They started in Baraboo. They've been based in Madison. And that's an incredibly charming record. Field Report is really, really, really good. I do not know Buffalo Gospel. And while Ryan was talking, I was writing down Buffalo Gospel on my little my little notepad. So, you know, you never stop discovering great music.
Well, Stephen, we're just about out of time. Anything you're looking forward to in particular in 2015 before we let you go?
Well, I mean, I'm still digesting the end of 2014, just like happened last year. All of a sudden, there are all these big, important records that are taking some time to unpack. You know, there's this new D'Angelo record. There's a new Nicki Minaj record, a new J. Cole record. And then, you know, coming up in 2015, there's the first Modest Mouse record in 8 years. There's a new album by Laura Marling, who is a singer I just love. So I love it. I love to always be swimming in it. I never like it to slow down.
Well, look forward to you sharing some of those songs with us next year. Stephen, thanks, as always, for joining us today.
Thank you, guys.
That's Stephen Thompson. He's an editor and reviewer for NPR Music, frequent guest on this show, and you can catch him on NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour and also on All Songs Considered.